The European economy got a pile of bad news today, but markets are kind of celebrating. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. The manufacturing sector in Europe is showing signs of contracting. The March Purchasing Managers Index there is the lowest it's been in 6 years. On top of that, core inflation in Europe fell in March to just 0.8%, further and further below where the European Central Bank would like it to be. And yet, markets doing just fine. Julie Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and is here to help us out with this. Good morning.
Good morning.
We got a lot of negative data out of Europe in terms of inflation and manufacturing. So why do markets appear to be doing just fine in Europe and here, for that matter?
I think the markets are reacting to data we got out of China, which was stronger than expected. And since China is the engine of the global economy these days, I think there's some optimism because China had been very weak. There is now some signs of stabilization there, and that is cause for optimism.
What about here in the U.S.? What are markets looking for here?
We got retail sales this morning. We get employment at the end of the week. The first quarter of the year looks like it's been very weak for the U.S., so we're looking for signs of that same kind of stabilization we saw in China to translate into the U.S. We didn't get that this morning with retail sales. February saw a decline, but with a upward revision to January. So there's still a lot of noise and the picture's still murky, but we're going to be sifting through the tea leaves this week for signs of hope in the U.S.
Julie Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
New York is set to become the second state to ban single-use plastic bags after California. More than a dozen cities and counties across the country have similar policies. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports on the actual cost of banning plastic bags and how that compares to the cost of not banning them.
In California these days, if you don't bring a bag to the store with you and you want one, it's probably going to be paper and you're going to have to pay for it, like Lauren Hollis at a Los Angeles Whole Foods.
Yeah, we haven't found a solution where people will have on them all the time a bag.
California law requires stores charge a minimum of 10 cents for a paper or heavier reusable plastic bag. That helps retailers offset the cost of those bags, which are about three times more expensive. But it costs consumers between $10 and $100 per year, according to California case studies. That burdens poor people the most. Lauren Hollis didn't really notice the odd 20 cents, but he did think twice.
You always do take that pause to think, well, can I just walk out with it or not?
And that's a good thing, says Mark Gold with the Institute of the Environment and Sustainability at UCLA.
It has really opened up all consumers in sort of their awareness of the true environmental cost.
The UN estimates plastic pollution causes $13 billion worth of damage to marine ecosystems every year. But banning plastic bags has its own consequences. A researcher at UC Berkeley found consumers buy more than twice as many small trash bags since the ban went into effect. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Lobster fishermen, a lot of them, are worried. There are plenty of lobsters in the sea. That's not the problem. The problem is the bait to catch them with. Fishermen have been using herring to lure lobsters into their pots, but herring, not doing so well. And federal regulators have cut the allowed herring harvest by 80% to give the fish space to recover. Lobster fishermen are fishing around for new sources of bait.
Recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
Norton, Virginia is a small town in the Appalachian Mountains. In 2017, it had almost four times as many opioid prescriptions as there are people living there. It is a place we spend a lot of time in the newest season of our podcast, The Uncertain Hour. It's all about drug epidemics and how they ever end. A small church in Norton has found itself on the front lines of battling drug addiction in the area.
My name is Robert Fultz. I'm the pastor of the Freedom Worship Church in Norton, Virginia. We are an evangelical church. We were born in 1933. I'm the third pastor in 85 years. So that tells you a little bit about our longevity and our history. We really thought that being here in the mountains, we were sheltered. And in some ways we might have been. It certainly changed. I would say one of our biggest problems in Wise County or in Southwest Virginia, and probably in America, is the drug crisis. I knew we had a drug problem. I had done some funerals. I had been to ICUs and emergency rooms. I had sat with families and kind of gone through those processes. I just had no idea the level. We have the same problems that they have in the city. We have the same problems they have in other areas. We're not as sheltered maybe as we'd like to be or thought we were. We certainly see the same kind of crimes and drug problems and family situations and just an overall negativity. As a pastor, I would call it the degeneration of our values, our moral fiber of the people of our country and of this community. There's probably not a family in Wise County that hasn't been or isn't being touched by the drug abuse problem. Whether they've seen an overdose or a death or not, they've seen family members compromised, they've seen them lose the ability to function and to do the things that they need to do as a person. It's a blight on the community.
That was Pastor Robert Fultz. If you want to hear more about the legacy of our country's war on drugs, subscribe to The Uncertain Hour wherever you get your podcasts. We also produced a series of videos on the topic. You can check them out on our YouTube channel. We're at Marketplace APM. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.